What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 37 of the Halving Report podcast. I am Brad Mines, your host. The price of Bitcoin is $16,000 or $21,000 for my Canadian listeners. We're about 7 months post the 2023 Bitcoin halving. We're expecting quite the bull run in the next 12 months. Today, we are interviewing RDBTC from Twitter. RD is a big Bitcoin enthusiast, a meme dealer, and a contributor to 21ism.com. If you take part of Bitcoin Twitter, you may already be familiar with some of his memes. Welcome, RDBTC, to episode 37 of the Halving Report. I know you're used to speaking in memes, but here today you speak to us through voice, so it's especially appreciated. Maybe you can start by giving us a background of yourself and let us know a bit who you are and leading up to when you first heard about Bitcoin and crypto.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me on. Anyway, first got into Bitcoin in October 2017. So this is sort of my first proper bull run, because when I got into it in 2017, I know we were in towards the end of the bull run, but I literally had no idea what was going on. and I hadn't even really looked at the price before I started buying, because it was more to do with sort of finding Bitcoin and realizing what it was more to do with why I was buying and not to do anything to do with the price, really. So I came across it. Of course, I'd heard about it before then, because I've been watching the Kaiser Report for years and popped up on the news every now and then. But it's one of those things that I thought, God, sounds really interesting, but I never really found the time to work out what it was. It wasn't until I downloaded Dominic Frisby's audiobook called Bitcoin, the Future of Money. And my story is basically, I listened to like the first 10 minutes of it and just went, this is it. This is the answer. This is what I've been looking for all this time. And yeah, literally the penny dropped as soon as I heard, like, it's like the first chapter of the book. And I was driving in my car listening to it. I got out my car, went and like found the first sort of reasonably safe Bitcoin exchange and just bought a little bit and just thought, this is it. I got to learn more about this. And it all went from there, really.
And that was in 2017 when you listened to Bitcoin, the Future of Money?
It was October the 1st, 2017. Remember the date exactly.
That's pretty similar to my story. Like, I started really diving deep, you, I had heard about it years before, but for one, didn't have money to invest. And so like later on when I heard about it, was 2017, I think, when it first hit $4,000. And then I really started diving deep in and around August, September, October 2017, just like you. And again, like, I didn't really understand, like, I was just understanding what Bitcoin was and the technology, and I was just buying, not looking at prices really. And I didn't really understand the halving at the time either, and how it works in these cycles. So I just thought, like, it's going, I just, at the time, I thought it possibly might just keep going up, right? So
by December, I thought I was going to be a millionaire in 6 months' time.
Yeah,
just going through the roof of what? Wow, what is this?
I know, it was insane, right? And I mean, and when I think back now, and then like look at where we are now, and what everyone's anticipating in the next 12 months is, you know, a similar bull run in 2017 that we're going to have in 2021, right? So it's super exciting. So not to get too deep in each one, because I want to ask you about them after. But in what ways do you participate in the crypto community?
Mostly just Twitter and obviously my memes. You know, I just want to have some fun engaging with the community. Like, also, I kind of want to, I hope that some of my memes kind of can guide people away from shit coins and trading and, you know, all the things that you can get caught out by. And I know that most people have to learn these lessons for themselves, but if one person sees one of my memes and thinks, oh, must be a bad idea trading, then that's a mission complete for me.
Well, it's true, memes are becoming more common language, and this is how even politicians use memes to get points across nowadays, right? Like, they're obviously very, very powerful. Now, were you always into creating memes, or is this something that Bitcoin and crypto led you to?
I used to make them from time to time, and I've always been quite handy at creating funny imagery and stuff for memes. So I'd get friends like say, oh, can you put someone's face on this? Can you do this? Can you do that? So I was quite often doing that anyway, plus making my own stuff. But yeah, to be totally honest, nothing was ever any, you know, really good. It was fun, and we were just sharing it in WhatsApp groups, but nothing I ever made was anything of any substantial impact. And then ever since 2017, every podcast I listened to, every audiobook, every single bit of content that I was consuming was something to do with Bitcoin. That was all that was on my brain, and then it kind of enabled me to make good Bitcoin memes, you know. So I hope they're good, but that was kind of how it started. And then my friends, normie friends, couldn't relate to the Bitcoin memes very much at all. There was a few that, you know, sometimes they could, but they weren't that interested. And then started sharing them on Twitter, and obviously the Bitcoin community loved them, so that was quite a buzz. And before that, just very average memes that I might have been creating just between mates and stuff.
That's pretty cool. I retweeted a meme I think you made from like June where the golf cart just smokes the guy from behind. Thinking, I'm just watching that video this morning thinking, what kind of sick person would do that? But the meme with the Move Bitch song just made me laugh out loud. So very well done. What applications do you use to create memes, like your websites?
A bit of everything, really. There's loads of meme templates you can get online anyway, and sometimes, like, if I've got no inspiration, I'll just literally go on a meme template website and flick through images and something might come to me. But then I was using other apps, but nothing really worked as well for me until I found one's a photo editing app called Photo Fox, and the other one is a video one, and that's called Video Leap. And I can't remember the name of the company that published the apps, but they're not, you can download a free version of them, but you need the paid for version to be able to make them look, you know, make them look good. Otherwise you can only do half the job, really.
So these are apps that you download on your phone on iOS?
Yeah, been able to do it. And sometimes I cross over to my PC if there's little bits that I can't quite do on my phone. But most of it I can do on my phone, because quite often the inspiration for a meme might come to me at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm sat on my phone in bed when I should be asleep, or, you know, browsing through Twitter. And I've got to do it there and then, because I'm not going to get up and sit at my computer and do it on Photoshop. in the morning.
I guess meme makers can never sleep. I mean, you're always on it, right?
Yeah, you're always working.
Mine's always working. That's good, though. Could you tell me about 21ism.com and what that is?
It's sort of like a group of us really started getting to know each other earlier this year. A few of them were already basically sort of putting the ideas together before I'd even, you know, met these guys. And obviously my memes got their attention, and they sort of took me under their wing. And yeah, they're all just really cool guys, really into Bitcoin, wanting to spread this content. And basically they said, oh, we're setting up this website. Do you want to be involved? Do you want to contribute? We want to feature you, stuff like that. So I was like, you know, I'm a pretty laid back guy. I just kind of go along with whatever. If people are interested in my content and what I've got to say and stuff, then it's cool, you know. It's just it's quite humbling, really.
So 21ism is a place for people to go and just get general Bitcoin content, or just memes, yes, or articles.
They're kind of doing featuring. So each month will be a new block, and they're featuring a meme artist, an artist, a writer, and I think a developer as well. So quite a wide spread of all the sort of talents that are in this space. And Badders and South Bank, who both are the main sort of driving force behind it, they're really sort of hunting out the content and the talent and getting them all involved. And yeah, it's cool stuff. The website looks really cool.
No, definitely. For the listeners, that's 21ism.com, 21ism.com. Uh-huh. And you also have swanbitcoin.com in your profile as well. Could you explain what Swan Bitcoin does?
The reason it's there is because, you know, I'm not a Swan Bitcoin customer, because I'm not based in the US, but they have given me a stacking code, which means that you can use that code to sign up for Swan. And what they do is it's a Bitcoin exchange where you do dollar cost averaging in every month, and it's the best way to stack sats. Basically, it takes all the volatility out of it. What do they say? You set it up and forget about it, basically. And yeah, you just get those sats stacking automatically. Don't have to think about it. Yeah, those guys are really cool. And the reason that's on there is because there's the Bitcoin Arsenal, which is another, it's like a Telegram group. It's run by the Swan guys, and they just try and get all of us Bitcoin memers together where we can sort of share ideas and collaborate on stuff there. And quite often you'll get someone pop in the group and say, oh, I've got an idea for a meme. And then someone in the group might jump on it and say, yeah, I can do that. I can help you make that. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool. What's that Telegram group called? Is it open invite or do you have to be invited?
Yeah, there's a public Telegram group. I can't remember the exact handle, but if you just look up Bitcoin Arsenal on Twitter, and there'll be a link there to the Telegram group, and anyone can join it. It's cool. It's good fun. We have quite a good laugh in the group as well. So
cool. Yeah, I'll definitely want to check that out after. So just moving on to just general, like, what do you think some of the most exciting news to come in the Bitcoin crypto space in 2020?
Lightning pools sounds interesting. I haven't really dived into the tech too deep, but from what I've heard from some of the guys talking about it, sounds quite interesting. I think really just this sort of emphasizing the importance of store of value, I think, is like the big deal at the moment, is what Michael Saylor's talking about, basically getting everyone talking about it. And I think that's what's going to drive all the new money in this bull run coming in. I think it's just, and it's not news to us, but you know, to a lot of people that aren't familiar with Bitcoin or what it is or how it works, I think when people fully understand, you know, what a store of value is, and that Bitcoin is the best store of value we've ever had or will possibly ever see, then that's going to be the biggest thing, I think, for me.
Definitely, I've noticed the massive general understanding that's seeping in through, like, traditional hedge fund managers, big time players get into the space, and people understanding that store of value and how Bitcoin acts as a store of value and is much more superior, really, to say something like gold. So do you see Bitcoin to continue to eat away at gold investments then?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I was looking at someone, Robert Kiyosaki. Completely Muller is his surname, but Robert Kiyosaki or whatever.
Yeah.
he tweets quite a bit about Bitcoin, but also gold and silver. And I'm just thinking, gold is just going to get absolutely murdered in this bull run, I think. And I think there's a lot of your sort of old school gold guys. And, you know, some of them are going to flip because they're just going to see it. Like, they're just going to see it happen in front of their eyes. Bitcoin is just going to completely eat up their market cap, but some will be, you know, stubborn and hold on to their old rocks for as long as they can. It's just a no-brainer for me. It's like, gold has nothing to offer in the digital age. It just doesn't work in the digital age. You know, you can't transfer it easily. If you need your money just to sit there and do nothing, then it's fine, but that's not what most people want. Yeah, their money to be able to do in this age we're in.
Now, I know you mostly focus on Bitcoin, but do you dive, or are you interested, or do you hodl any other altcoins or
no,
trade?
No, I don't trade. When I was first got involved, obviously you download the app, you buy some Bitcoin, and like, what are all these other coins? Like, why is there so many of them, and why are some of them on this exchange but others aren't, and trying to work that out. And then I started talking about Bitcoin to some of my friends, and you know, people that didn't even have any Bitcoin, and they're like, oh well, I've got a mate who says Ripple's going to be the next Bitcoin, and you just get all this noise, you know, about all these other coins and what they do that Bitcoin doesn't. And I found it really distracting and quite difficult to decipher what was true and what wasn't. I thought, well, maybe Litecoin is the silver to Bitcoin. And yeah, I started, you know, these sort of ideas were kind of drifting into my head, but more and more I learned about Bitcoin, the less and less they attracted me. I think at a few stages I had literally like 10 or 20 pounds worth of altcoins. Yeah, like I said, the more I learned about Bitcoin, the less they interested me, until I think probably about a year after I got into Bitcoin, I'd just ditched them all and was just totally Bitcoin, and they still, nothing interests me but Bitcoin.
What about the argument about fungibility? And there's, you see a lot of people who are only privacy coins, or more so involved in privacy coins, something like Monero, where, you know, there's absolutely no traceability, whereas Bitcoin is a transparent blockchain, kind of has that flaw where they can blacklist certain coins. Do you see that as an issue at all, or something that's just something that will be solved with layers of software on top of it?
The way I see it is that if you want to be private with Bitcoin, you can coin join, you can buy non-KYC coins, you know, if you find the right place to buy them. So You can do that with Bitcoin if you want to. It doesn't really interest me personally, but also obviously you've got your privacy coins, and like I just think, well, if I was trying to do something you know, that I wanted to hide, then maybe I would try and use those. But for me personally, they don't attract me, and I have no need for them. So who's to say there's not a need for them in the future? I don't know. I personally just think that Bitcoin solves the problem of money. You know, there's a major problem with money. Bitcoin solves that problem. And until that problem has been completely solved and we've moved to a Bitcoin standard, then everything can be pegged to Bitcoin. And if there is a market for other coins that are pegged to Bitcoin, then maybe. But the way I look at it would be, I don't want any other coin but Bitcoin, because why would I want any other coin but the, you know, the money that we're all using, that we all need, the best store of value. So I hope that answers your question anyway. But
absolutely. And if it depends on, like, Bitcoin can be utilized as different things to different people. So if your end game, if your current strategy is to hodl Bitcoin and not use it, like if you're using it in everyday transactions, you could maybe say that fees are a little bit too high compared to other cryptocurrencies or something like that. But I mean, for me and you, if we're just hodling Bitcoin long term, and we're not moving it around very often, then I mean there's no reason to take on additional risk. Like, I'm very much a blue chip crypto guy. Like, I do dive out beyond Bitcoin, but not too much. Like, the majority of my holdings are in Bitcoin, and I do that as a safety, because I feel like accumulating the most, for a lot of these altcoins, accumulating more Bitcoin is always the end strategy anyways. So it's like, well, you know, you don't want to be too diversified into altcoins, that's for damn sure. If you want to look at it as a gamble almost, right?
I get that. I get, personally, I've just never been a gambler, you know, like even on sports and things. I'd think to myself, I'll bet on the NFL this week, and it'll get to Sunday night. I don't know what time the games are over there, but 9 o'clock, the late games kick off in the UK. And I think, I forgot to have a gamble. So gambling's never really got me. And then looking at the other coins, it is a gamble. They go up and down, and if you can sell the top and buy the low, you know, you've made a good gamble. Do you know what I mean? But it's just never interested me. I'm just, you know, just generally really patient anyway. So I'm just quite happy to buy and hodl and DCA and just, you know, just chill through it all.
No, I feel the same way. I mean, Bitcoin goes up in value so much every cycle. It's like, I mean, you can get a little bit greedy, right? And that's how people get wrecked in the space. It's all the questions I had for you, man. So I just want to, you know, say thanks for the interview and ask if you have any final questions or comments. If not, maybe just let the listeners know where to follow you.
Cool, thanks for having me, man. It's I'm always really humbled when someone asks me to come on their podcast and talk about me and stuff. and I love talking about Bitcoin, so thanks. It's Twitter, RD_BTC. That's where you'll find me. Same handle on Instagram, but I kind of use Instagram as it's like a gallery for me, so I can find my memes stuff because it's really easy to find them on Instagram. Whereas on Twitter, if you posted something 6 months ago, it's so hard to find. So that's really what I use Instagram for. If you already follow me, thanks for following me and supporting my memes and retweeting them, and cheers. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, man. Hope to do it again sometime. Thank you for listening to episode 37 of the Halving Report podcast. Be sure to like the podcast, leave us a comment or question, and subscribe to the show.